Telling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena, Kirsten.
Morena.
How are you?
I am good. I'm so excited about today's...
I have to say, so am I.
It's not a genre. And you know what? I'm thinking it's not even a scene, because I feel like a scene has more interaction with the fans, you know, and the people. This, I'm going to call it a nest.
I just made that up.
A nest.
A musical nest.
Yeah. So this, we're calling it Laurel Canyon, which is a sort of a suburb in LA, and it's actually like minutes away from sort of Sunset Boulevard and sort of central LA, so that all these musicians could live up in the hills, smoke weed, have these gorgeous sort of funky old cottages and mansions, but also be like really involved in the club scene, like just down the hill. So the time period we're talking about is like 67 to 74. And so this area, Laurel Canyon, I guess, you know, one of the first guys that was there was Frank Zappa, who had this amazing home with bizarre garden
everything
accessories.
Yeah.
And then Joni Mitchell moved there from Canada, and the Mamas and the Papas dudes were all there.
Yeah.
So John and Michelle Phillips, Mama Cass.
I was going to say, this is definitely not necessarily people who... Yeah, you would. They're contemporaries, but they're not necessarily like the same.
No, and they're from
sound.
All over the place.
Totally.
So, you know, like Joni Mitchell was from Canada, and you know, we're going to be talking about Linda Ronstadt, and she was from Arizona. So sort of this collected people from all over the place. This is where Crosby, Stills, and Nash got together, and then they added Neil Young, and then...
Another Canadian flavor.
That's right. And then the Eagles, who were Linda Ronstadt's backing band at that time, all lived there. And so you can also hear this kind of California vibe. Apparently, Rick Rubin still lives there.
Wow.
In Houdini's mansion.
Oh, gosh. I bet there's some weird stuff in there. Should we kick it off with, I mean, probably one of the easiest tracks to help define this. It is California by Joni Mitchell.
Sitting in a park in Paris, France, reading the news and it sure looks bad.
This is my flatmate Briar's absolute favorite track of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
What are the chances of that?
It's a beautiful song.
And it's James Taylor playing guitar, who she was dating at the time. She also dated...
Oh, that's a bit of gossip.
Yeah, she also dated Leonard Cohen. Oh, look. This whole nest all slept with each other.
That's the common thread, actually.
That's the key.
Yeah, they'd all hang out at Mama Cass's house and just smoke weed and jam and have parties. Ooh, you want to hear something horrible? You know who else was hanging around? Oh. Charles Manson.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah.
You can't really talk about Laurel Canyon without...
He was
Charles Manson
around
sort of being
too
somewhere
and trying to do music and stuff. I mean, they never talk about him, so I don't know if that means he wasn't like quite in the in-group or they just don't want to talk about him.
Yeah,
fair enough.
But Michelle Phillips from Mamas and the Papas, she talks about that as part of the ending of the Laurel Canyon thing. Was just that it became an unsafe.
Yeah.
You know, LA became unsafe, Laurel Canyon became unsafe.
A lot of historians even look at the Manson murders as being part of the end of the sort of whole 60s scene.
Well, that's
as well.
Right. This is considered very much like the 60s didn't end at the 60s, because this nest of people sort of carried on. The Doors, Jim Morrison hung out there. It's just kind of everyone who's anyone in it. Well, you know, California, it becomes this California sound, but like you said, they weren't all from there. And I think LA is notorious. I don't know if it's still the case. Obviously, I myself grew up there as a place where you don't grow up and you move to.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think it possibly comes from this time that it collects all these people, but who become Californians. I mean, the sound sounds like Californian, and even the Eagles is like iconic Californian.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I caught a plane to Spain, went to a party down a red dirt road. There were lots of pretty people there, reading Rolling Stone, reading Vogue. I said, how long can you hang
on? Now, Joni Mitchell, all the guys were in love with her.
I mean,
everybody was in love with
her. Fair enough. She's absolutely gorgeous, and she's...
She just was such a muse for so many people. And she was a great songwriter.
Yeah. I mean, just that line about everybody sitting around reading Rolling Stone is like such a knife at the LA scene, but also big love kind of thing as well.
Yep. Yep. So apparently they were all stoned all the time. They made music together, took drugs together, formed bands together, and slept together.
That's the foundations of any real scene, isn't it?
And apparently Joni Mitchell says, you know, in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, the North of America, all the weird people live in California. And in California, all the weird people live in L.A. In L.A., all the weird people live in Hollywood. And in Hollywood, all the weird people live in Laurel Canyon. And in Laurel Canyon, all the weird people live in Lookout Mountain, which is where they all are.
Right.
And so she's like, yeah, she had to go there. So some people call it granola white hippie music, soft rock, folk rock. But it actually had a lot of subtle politics in it. You know, it was rebelling against society. It was very melodic. It was sort of kind of anti-pop in some ways.
I'm bringing in Linda Ronstadt here. You're No Good.
This is one of the great voices, I think, of pop music. Feeling better
now that we're through. I think also a lot of people, you can hear the influence of Linda Ronstadt's vocal sound on so many decades of vocalists, I reckon.
Oh, she has great stories where she talks about hearing Emmylou Harris. I'm thinking, oh my God, she's so good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be jealous of her. I'm going to meet her. And then she did an album with her and Dolly Parton called Trio.
Amazing.
You know, it's just such a great woman, like about women standing together. But yeah, if you want an amazing rabbit hole this weekend, just Linda Ronstadt yourself out. Her voice. She's got Alzheimer's now and she can't sing anymore.
That's Parkinson's.
She recorded 30 studio albums.
Wow.
And then 15 compilation albums. And because she sung on so many other people's albums, 120 all up.
Wow, that is incredibly prolific.
Well, I thought this was interesting. Her biggest vocal influences are Hank Williams, Edith Piaf, Maria Callas, and Ella Fitzgerald.
Maria Callas, I like that. BFM listeners, what are your thoughts on Laurel Canyon thus far? 5395.
Okay, and not to get all like gossipy here, but she dated George Lucas.
Wow.
The governor of California at that time, Jim Carrey. And she's never married.
Live your life, Linda. I love it.
So everyone was in love with her too. She was so beautiful. In fact, she feels somehow she got lost in that. They would put the beautiful ingenue picture of her in the album cover. She had male managers, male songwriters, because she always did covers, a male band that feel like she gets discounted.
I think actually quite a lot of female musicians from that period do, because they get written off as being the muses rather than probably, like, I mean, no one can deny the incredible power of someone like Joni Mitchell's songwriting. But she quite often gets reduced to being this kind of like cold, beautiful muse, you know? She's so much more than that.
And then Linda Ronstadt's longtime partner, collaborator, / manager, he says, you know, they work together because he's the only guy that never slept with her. You know, like he could just deal with her as an artist. She also has Mexican heritage and recorded really neat sort of Mexican songs, albums later on in her life. They're really awesome.
That's really cool. Someone said, thanks, ladies. What a morning. Loving it. Hadn't thought of this music for ages. You're most welcome.
Yeah. It's been so fun for me. I hope you guys have fun too.
Is this like reminiscent of growing up in LA?
Well, yeah, I can feel the vibe, you know. And I was thinking about Tarantino's movie. I feel like he didn't capture, you know, the...
he didn't get it right?
He didn't get this aspect of it, the hippies.
This is, what was the Tarantino movie called? I'm absolutely going blank.
I know, me too.
The one that was out this year. You know what we're talking about.
Okay, this is The Birds. Famously, David Crosby was in it. So, it's so weird. I didn't realize they were a California band because they sound like a British Invasion band.
Yeah, they definitely
But they were. Like, they loved the Beatles.
Yeah.
And they were folk music artists. And so, and they were apparently really responsible for Dylan's Shift as well, and they recorded Tambourine Man. So yeah, that's why they do Sound British Invasion, and I used to be really confused. Apparently this song is not about drugs.
It's not about drugs.
No, it's about being on a plane to London.
It's called 8 Miles High, if anyone's wondering. Someone else just says, thank you, Joni. We are stardust, we are golden. I feel like that's generally people's responses to Joni Mitchell is just like, thanks, thanks, Joni. You really helped me through some stuff.
And it was a real women's, I mean, obviously they weren't dominant. There was all sorts of men there too, but you had Bonnie Raitt around, Linda Ronstadt, Cass Elliot, Carole King, Joni.
Yeah.
You know, the scene allowed women to have equal sort of flourishing and creative power.
Totally. I was just thinking that Christmas time is never really truly underway until Emma Thompson has cried to Joni Mitchell in Love Actually.
Oh, I've been there already this December.
Oh my God! Oh.
1st of December with my entire flat.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
My friend just went dressed as the first lobster to a work Christmas party. Oh. You know, Emma Thompson's daughter in that movie comes as the first lobster at the Nativity. Great film. Well, actually, it's a terrible film. Incredibly problematic.
I know, and it hurt. But
I love
emotionally.
It. I love it.
Now, Linda Ronstadt said that, well, actually, I can't remember now who said it, but that Joni Mitchell was lovely, shy, and literate.
Yep.
Yeah, it was Linda Ronstadt said it. And just sort of talking about how they were presented as women in the industry didn't capture
who they were.
Because you wanted this ingenue, or you wanted this sort of mother hippie, but that Joni and Linda just didn't fit. They didn't know how to market them.
No. Someone has said, this is massively informative and interesting. Tau tōku to Dr. Kirsten, aroha nui.
Oh, kia ora, thank you so much. Yeah, I've enjoyed it. I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. It's such a great nest to delve into.
It's a lovely, mellow, summery vibe as well.
Yeah, and obviously very influenced in what's going to become Americana.
Yeah.
You know, that you can have country music that doesn't have all the other conservative politics attached to it. Psychedelic, introspective, definitely a folk sort of aspect.
Well, thank you. I've very much enjoyed this. We've been listening to The Birds, Joni Mitchell and Linda Ronstadt this morning. And what are you bringing us next week?
Next week I'm away in Wellington.
Oh, fantastic.
But after that, oh my God, we're going super weird because it's got some good Christmas songs.
Excellent.
Plunderphonics.
Plunderphonics, fantastic. Thank you very much for Laurel Canyon this morning, Dr. Kirsten.
You're very welcome.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Oh, that sounded...